Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Flick. This episode in Guided Run by Christina Chenault is brought to you by Ulilu. Ulilu was founded by high school juniors Greg Damelin, Liam Kretz, and Catherine Steers, who identified a disconnect within their own community and founded Ulilu to be the perfect solution. They created Ulilu as an online platform to centralize various resources and sponsor events revolving around mental health, peer support, aiming to implement their services on various college campuses to foster a community and peer support for students everywhere.
Hi, Christina.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, as well as I can be in this pandemic.
Yeah, the fun fact, there is a pandemic happening. Well, thank you so much for coming on our podcast today.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here and talk to you a little bit more.
Yeah, I really can't wait to dive into your article. But of course, before I do, I have to ask, what are you drinking today?
Okay, I'm just drinking water actually right now. Pretty basic.
Hydration is important.
It's key. It's crucial. I like almost overhydrated last week and saw how much my skin got clearer. So I've been like really on it now lately. So just water for today.
Well, I also am drinking water because it's my understanding that we're going to have a guided run later. So I'm trying to prepare for my out of shape body to actually.
You got to hydrate. Yes.
Hydration Nation. It's so important. So I have to say, I just loved reading your article, The Quarter Life Crisis of a College Athlete.
Yes.
If the fact that I was nervous for a run later indicated anything to you, I am not a college athlete, but that doesn't mean that I couldn't still find, you know, like meaning and, you know, just a full, I think a very profound article talking about the bigger picture of identity and sort of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned a lot in your article about identity foreclosure, and I just kind of wanted to go into that more because I thought it was very interesting and something that can potentially apply to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, for sure. So identity foreclosure is essentially when you block off basically just a part of your identity and have that area basically engulf, yeah, your whole identity. So in the article I wrote, I was specifically kind of saying it in the lens of a college athlete and how many college athletes face identity foreclosure once they graduate and are no longer attached to their identity as an athlete. It's just like a pretty prevalent aspect of your identity. When you're in college sports, you're competing all the time, you're training all the time. And then suddenly that like ceases to all exist. Like everything you've been working for, you know, in regards to athletics ceases to exist once you graduate. So it's a huge like transformation, and transition period for a lot of people. And that's what I had faced earlier this spring because of the pandemic canceling my season and that also rushing and forcing an end to my career or athletic career. So yeah, it's definitely a crazy concept. It's something we all have to face, not just athletes, but that was the one lens, you know, I was able to experience it this year and wrote about. But it's definitely a relatable topic, but it's a pretty crazy, kind of scary experience.
The pandemic cut your career way earlier than you were prepared for. And in the article, you talk a lot about how you learned a lot about yourself and sort of who you were. Do you mind just elaborating on that further? Because I thought it was extremely profound.
Yeah. I think what's crazy is I used to think throughout college, I was doing a lot of things that we're supposed to combat identity foreclosure, since I thought it was something you can kind of prepare for. I learned about it in my psych classes. And so I was, you know, getting involved in other clubs on campus. I was interning different places and trying to create the identity outside of sports. But once I did hit this past spring and my career ended, it made me realize everything I was still doing, even if it was directly related to athletics or me physically working out, it still in some way was related to sports. And that just seemed super exhaustive as I was trying to transition my identity. I was like, everything I still do in regards to like marketing, storytelling, anything like that, even the clubs I was involved in were still pretty dominant and predominantly relating to sports. So it started from just like the grassroots up, really. It was like, well, what else do I want to do? What else do I want to read about? What else do I want to watch other than something related to sports all the time? It's still mm-hmm. a passion of mine. I still think I want to work in sports, but I was like, what else do I have to me? And it was kind of like a scary moment of realization, realizing how much activity and how much conversation I had that was still related to sports. And so it was kind of, yeah, I guess it was a scary transition, realizing like, what else are my hobbies? Like, what are the other things I can try? And like, what does that look like? So I started reading a bunch of different books, listening to different types of music. I also started like skating a lot. So just doing a bunch of different things that I usually wouldn't do or wouldn't have the time to do as often when I was a college athlete. So it was exploring literally all aspects of my identity outside of sport and just kind of playing around with it and seeing what things I liked and what I didn't like.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you, even from the article and what you're saying now, not easy, but something that you were definitely able to overcome and pass on that knowledge to others in your article.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think like one of the biggest things, like I said, I was trying to prepare for this sort of transition. And it's something you can't fully prepare for in like big life transitions like this. I mean, I know a lot of people are facing it in different ways because of the pandemic, or facing some sort of transition or shift within themselves and their worldview right now. And so what was interesting was just to be able to kind of like detach myself from aspects of control over my life. And I think just as a student, as an athlete, always try to have some sense of control of whatever outcome I was like, I guess, geared towards. And this pandemic and the identity foreclosure process has taught me how much you really don't have control over things. And like the beauty of like detaching yourself and letting go of things as well in such a difficult time. So it's been definitely a learning experience.
Yeah. And I feel like as a college athlete too, it's so hard to separate what you might deem as like non-sport like activities into sport activities. If that's, I don't know if that's making any sense. Like, how do you separate exercise for exercise's sake and exercise for sport's sake?
Yeah. That was a big transition for me as I, you know, came out of being a college athlete. Was I still love to work out for the health benefits and just being able to stay physically fit for the endorphins, all of those things. And so what I started to do since I was a track athlete was doing any types of workout that wasn't on the track. So even if it was still running, it could just be like going on a trail run. My mom had gotten a Peloton recently, so been using that a lot, loving that. But it's really just like finding different ways to exercise. And it's so funny because people assume, you know, an athlete or a college athlete, professional athlete would obviously know how to work out or how to exercise. But when you actually take your sport away, it's like, well, what does exercise now look like? Something totally different. And personally, I don't want to keep running, you know, all out sprints on the track as my main form of exercise. I'd rather do something a notch below. So finding a exercise that's actually enjoyable, that's fun, and just figuring out like what that is, biking, skating, whatever it is, to keep yourself fit, keep yourself moving, has been a big I think lesson for me as well.
Yeah. And I do feel like exercise can absolutely be healing. Like, I really think not focusing it on like an aesthetic way and what it could maybe make you look like, but really just zoning in on your health and doing it for you to make yourself feel better.
100%. I think that's been a big aspect. You know, I see a lot of people start to work out more, I think, almost in the pandemic, because it really shows that it serves as such an amazing outlet. And like I said, no matter what the form of exercise is, even if it's going on a walk, even if it's going on a hike, yoga, it doesn't have to be necessarily anything super high intensity, but whatever it is, you kind of are able to take that chunk of time throughout your day, let everything else go for a second, and just focus on yourself, your body, the present, your mind during that time. And I always have been like attracted to sport and exercise because of that reason.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Do you want to tell our listeners what to expect on this guided run that they're about to hopefully partake in?
Yes. So the guided run is really whatever a run looks like to you. It honestly could be a walk. It could be a hike, just some form of movement. The idea is just to be able to detach yourself once again from everything that's kind of happening in the world. No matter what's happening in your life right now, to being able to realize we're all actually experiencing a sense of just a sense of something that's out of our control. And so in this guided run, in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about the theme of how to let go and how to control the things that we can still control and how to keep moving forward throughout such a difficult time and a time that people can be very stuck. So I hope the guided run, walk, hike, whatever it may be for you, is able to kind of free yourself from the stress you've put on yourself, the stress that the world has brought you today, and that you feel more empowered at the end of it, and more refreshed at the end of it to be able to live your life as abundantly as possible. So now that you all have heard a little bit of my story, my growing pains over the past couple of months, I think it's time to turn the mic to you. Figuratively, of course, I'm not gonna make you have to respond back, especially if you're going on a run. Oh, and if you haven't started running yet, you should probably start now. Whether that's running, walking, hiking, whatever physical movement you choose for today. So I'm going to ask kind of a series of questions, give a little context on how I feel like in that difficult time, I found a sense of alignment. And it actually came with three P's. The three P's of alignment that I felt were pain, peace, and purpose. And I think all three of those holistically helped align myself a lot better to become more abundant and just more joyful in a day-to-day manner. And what's kind of ironic is going into 2020, I was super excited. I'm sure a lot of you were. And I just thought this was going to be my best year yet. And I think it turned quite the opposite. But at the same time, I think I got exactly what I asked for. Now, you might be wondering how you just told this crazy story of how much you may have struggled and how much I struggled, but the word of my 2020 was the word alignment. And I truly believe, you know, now, I mean, we still have a few months left, but right now, I do think I received that to the maximum extent. I also want to say, if you're running right now, don't go out too fast. We're just still kind of warming up. This is going to be a very reflective and meditative run. This isn't going to be the type of run where you're listening to Future. This isn't going to be the type of run, you know, you listen to 21 Savage or whatever music you listen to get you pumped up. This is definitely going to be one of those reflective, healing, holistic runs. So take it at your own pace. So when I talk about these three P's, I'm going to first give a little bit of context, some learning that I found out from each of them, and then also pose a few questions. And like I said in the beginning, you do not have to respond out loud. I mean, it might be a little weird, especially if you're running by yourself. Even if you were running with a friend and you just had your headphones in, it would probably be weird because I can't hear your responses back. So I'm not going to act like I can, but you can still respond in your head and think about the questions. And I'm just speaking from experience, even as a track runner, when I go on runs, I don't really like to have full-on conversations because I just need to focus on my breath personally. some of you guys might be able to relate to that, or some of the superstars, super fit girls, women, men, and boys of you guys. Maybe you guys have no problem, no struggle with lung capacity in the same way that I do, but I struggle. So, like I said, I'll ask some questions, but just think about them to yourself. When I go through each of these three P's, you'll kind of have an understanding of where you are in the run as well, since it's kind of broken up into three chapters. So let's just get started with the first one. Pain. That sounds very daunting, does it not? So pain is definitely something that is unavoidable. It comes in a bunch of different facets and a bunch of different ways. And like I said, often it's pretty unavoidable. So context within myself, you know, as an athlete, I always hear this phrase, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I would tell people this too, you know, even when I was training or if I was just practicing at the track. But what I realized was I was really comfortable with being uncomfortable as long as I could control that uncomfortability. And let me just give an example if that didn't fully resonate. If I'm on the track or if I'm doing extra core at night, that is something that's uncomfortable. If I'm studying for a test and going through flashcards or doing extra reading at night for my classes, that's something that's uncomfortable. But it's something that's controllable. It's something that I know I'm actively doing to create a better future for myself. You know, a better result, a better outcome, whatever that goal may be. But what I realized in 2020 is getting comfortable with being uncomfortable sucks when you have no control. I think it hurts a little bit more. And that's one of the biggest things I started to realize is how can I, you know, basically allow myself to feel different types of pain and keep moving forward. So the big learning that I figured out after experiencing all of that was that pain brings understanding. So whatever, you know, your discomfort may be in life, whether it might be on this run right now or whether it is something that's just out of your control in your life right now, just know that it always brings a sense of understanding. And I've always found that to be true. So further, I started to look into, you know, articles as I was kind of struggling with my identity and all these things. And the concept of the law of attraction has been super common, I feel like, the past couple years, or I've heard it a lot more often. But what I didn't realize was you can't really have the law of attraction without the law of detachment. So I'll, you know, clarify that and go into that a little bit further. When you are experiencing any sort of pain in your life, you know, or any sort of discomfort, as a natural human being, you want to get out of that discomfort as soon as possible. Whether you're just running on the track, you want to get out as soon as possible, but you can't, or else your coach would probably yell at you. But you keep going, right? So when you are experiencing that sort of pain, you also are looking at what do you want the outcome to be? You know, how can you get yourself into a better position and a more comfortable position? And that's kind of what the law of attraction is, right? If you want to be a better person, if you want to be a kinder person, a smarter person, you have to surround yourself with those types of people and you have to actively take steps to be that person. And then you will attract that as well. I knew that, you know, I want to be happier. I want to be, you know, smarter. I want to be faster, all these things. But what I realized in 2020 was that law of detachment. So when you do not have control over the things that are happening in your life or the things that are bringing that discomfort and pain, you have to learn how to detach yourself from it. And in what ways were you detached? So for me personally, I was very attached to my identity as a track athlete, right? That's what I spoke about in the article. That's what I was interviewed by Katrina with in the very beginning of this episode. And I want to emphasize, attachment isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's really only when it fully consumes your identity
or when you are unwilling to ever let it go, if you do not have control over that, that's when it can be a little toxic. So that's when the beauty of the law of detachment really comes into play. And honestly, it's necessary to learn. I think a lot of people in 2020 have had to relearn the things they were attached to and also detach different things that could be whichever you were used to in the past, you know, seeing your friends on a daily basis, whether that's coworkers or students, whether it was the routine you usually had and how you may have been attached to that, the people you are used to seeing once again, whatever it was, we have to learn to detach ourselves from it. And not detach ourselves from a sense of reality, because you still want to create that new routine for yourself, but just detach the over sense of value you may have put in it onto your life. So that's when the beauty of detachment really comes into play. But at the same time, it's so much easier to say, what are the actual actionable steps to detach yourself from certain things? So I have a few questions for you to answer that. And it's not questions I can answer for you. It's something you definitely have to think about and answer within yourself. So I have three questions for these. The first one I want you to think about is, have I taken the time to check in with myself today? This is a very general question. No matter at what point in the day you're listening to this and going on this run, you should answer this, you know, to yourself. Have you even taken the time today to check in with yourself? And how so? If you haven't, now is the time to do so. Check in with your body right now as you're moving. You know, do you need to unclench your jaw? Are you taking deep breaths in still? What are other ways do you need to drop your shoulders? Do you need to relax a little bit more into the run? And then also just mentally, have you checked in with yourself? How are you feeling today? And validate that too. Now, the second question I want to ask you are, based off of all of that, if you're having a great day, a phenomenal day, or a not so great day, what are the things you can do today, or even if it's nighttime, the rest of the night, to make today better? Based off of the way you answer that last question, what are the things you can do today to make it better and make today a better day? Those are things to think about. And even if you don't get all of those things done, you know, maybe you create a list. It could be something small. I'm not saying you have to, you know, climb this mountain and overdo anything and finish this whole book and, you know, whatever it may be. But also consider some small things that you would enjoy. It's really sometimes about the simple pleasures of life. So think about those small things too that also bring you joy and can make today a little bit better. That could just be making sure your room is clean. That could be having an amazing breakfast or meal, whatever that may look like to you. Now, the last question I'm going to ask in regards to pain, discomfort, and attachment is, what can I let go of in this moment? That's an amazing question to ask yourself in regards to practicing that law of detachment. Is obviously we have discomfort in life, we have pain, we have awkward situations, encounters, whatever that may be, but we cannot control it all. And especially right now when you're listening to my voice and you're on this run, there's nothing you can necessarily do about that right now. So what can you let go of in this moment? You know, anything that, you know, may be taking up too much of your mental energy. Be in your space for no reason at all and be in your space for free, you can actually let that go right now. So take a few strides, take a few breaths, and really just let that go. And that is the end with chapter one of pain. So now we're going to move on to the middle section. You're done with the first part. We're on to rep number two. And the second P is peace. So now for the second repetition of this exercise, or the second P of alignment, peace. So to give a little context, I'm the type of person that always keeps myself pretty busy. I'm either working out, or I'm reading something, or I'm hanging out with someone, you know, I guess pre-COVID, or I'm, you know, doing some work for a club, an organization, whatever it is, or interning. It's honestly a lot. And I always just did that because I wanted to be, you know, the most productive self. And if you resonate with that, it's not even really a bad thing, I wouldn't say. But I did have to learn in 2020 as a whole that I had to create a sense of balance to protect my peace. So the learning and the truth that I took from 2020 and all of this experience is that I had to learn that taking care of yourself is not selfish. And if you don't learn how to take care of yourself properly, you're always gonna feel like something is missing. To go further, there was a lot of music I've been listening to in 2020. I think my genre of music changed a little bit more towards relaxing music, just being able to have that side of me so that everything doesn't have to be so intense. And I think that's what this pause in life has kind of given me. I think it's given a lot of people that is time to reflect and time to really reconsider what gives them their peace and reset their intentions accordingly. And I often think about this phrase of peace like a river. Prior to 2020, I think I just thought, yeah, a river is very peaceful, but who has time for all of that? To just sit and look at a river and really just look around you. I'm not saying I never did that, okay? I'm not guilty completely, but I definitely did not take the time to really appreciate those simple things that were all around me. Even just the things like nature and water and all of these things. Sunsets, rivers, etc. And that's something I relearned because I realized those are the really peaceful moments in life, and that's something that I wanted to prioritize. So now the question becomes, how do you create that sense of peace in your life? Well, I have another set of questions for you. So once again, these are not questions you have to answer out loud. I'm sure, you know, at this point you might be a little fatigued, so physically, but I want you to think about these things and kind of answer them as you think about them so that you can kind of figure out how to create that sense of peace in your own life. So for question number one, is there anything I am still holding on to? And when you think about this question, think about if you do not feel a complete sense of peace in your life. And that's pretty hard to achieve. You know, nothing in life is always going to be 100% perfect. It's just never going to be like that. From an athlete standpoint, people know your body's never going to be 100%. You're always going to have a slight tension in your back, or you're going to have a slight, you know, soreness in your foot, your calf, whatever it may be. Something's going to be tight. That's just how it works. We kind of just get used to it. And I think that's the same concept of when you're trying to figure out when is the right moment for this. You know, you want to take a risk, or you want to do something, or apply for this job, or move, you know, here to this city. There's never really, once again, the perfect moment for that. You just have to keep going. So going back to the question, is there anything that you are still holding on to? And why? You know, if it's holding you down, what weight do you feel like you may be holding that is still there that is not necessary? I heard a Big Sean quote, actually, from his newest album. And he was talking about how when you have a sense of regret still, it's often because, this is not the bar, I'm rephrasing clearly, but it's often because you didn't learn the lesson or you didn't forgive yourself. And I just think That's really true. So if you feel like there's something that you're still holding on to, maybe think about, well, what did you learn from it? What was the lesson? And can you forgive yourself, maybe, if it was something, you know, you feel like you caused? Because you can always learn to forgive yourself. Now, the second question in this series of peace I have for you is, what brings me joy? Now, this is once again seems so cliche, but it's so important. Think about these things. Think about people that bring you joy. Think about a few experiences that bring you joy, a few actions, behaviors, things that you have are in your life, you know, or maybe had in your life. What are those things that bring you joy? And the last thing in the last question of this series is, what am I still grateful for today? Or what am I grateful for today? Even if today is, once again, not your best day, what am I still grateful for? It's so important to be able to have that mindset and just that growth mindset going into the next day to still acknowledge things that you can be grateful and appreciative for, even in your darkest moments, in your darkest seasons. And if things are going great for you, it's really important to acknowledge those things as well. So just think about a few things that you can be grateful for today. It can be something as simple as what you're looking around and seeing around you right now, things you're able to smell right now, you know, people, once again, and experiences in your life, or even just access to water and food and shelter. Be able to still acknowledge those things as well. And now we're on to the final stretch, the third repetition, and the third P of alignment, purpose. So purpose is a really big thing in life. I think it's something everyone tries to figure out throughout their life. And I think it's also something that changes shape as you evolve as a person. So once again, a little context into my life. If you read the article and you guys all listened to the first part of my interview in this podcast, my article was about my quarter life crisis as a college athlete. And I think the biggest reason why it felt like it was like a quarter life crisis was because I so heavily struggled with my identity and my sense of purpose. And that's a huge idea and concept to bring yourself to just like emotional, physical, mental stability is kind of, for me, it was having that sense of purpose and knowing the stuff that I was doing was meaningful. However, I know in life there's going to be moments and times when you are in a period of transition, like a pandemic is a perfect example of that. And you might not be so clear in your sense of purpose. That might be a little bit of foggy. And that's okay. And so the truth and the learning that I realized out of all of this for purpose was that your purpose cannot come from anywhere but within you. And I feel like that is so important to acknowledge and recognize, because I was getting to a point where I was asking a lot of people, just trying to figure out where I should be, what should my next move be, what should my decision be in this scenario or that scenario. And after hearing everyone's advice on different things, I quickly realized that I have to be the one that makes all these decisions at the end of the day. And one of my close friends and mentors actually told me that too. After asking him a lot of questions on what should I do next and where should I go, he kind of just sat me down and was like, "You're at the end of the day, I can say all of these things and I'll give all this advice to you, but you're going to be the one that makes the decisions at the end of the day and you're going to know what's best for you." And I think that's something we hear before or we've heard before and we hear over and over again, but it's really, really true. At the end of the day, you're the one that makes the decisions for your life and you're the one that has to live with them. So you have to be willing to make those for you and not necessarily just get persuaded one way or the other, especially when you're trying to find your purpose. And one thing further, when I was looking more into this and this season of purpose for myself, I always relate back to my favorite book, The Alchemist. So if you haven't read it, I 10 out of 10 recommend it. I wouldn't even consider myself a super heavy reader. I love books, though. I do have a lot, but I wouldn't consider myself a super heavy reader. And I read that book within a day, and I revisit it pretty often. I just think it's a good book that anyone can resonate to and read pretty quickly. Anyway, there's a quote within the book that talks about kind of this concept of how do you create happiness in your life. And within this phase or this chapter of the book, it's talking about how one of the characters is going through this house, and it's a beautiful, gorgeous house. And he also is basically given the task of not spilling oil off of the spoon. So stay with me. It will all make sense in a second. So he goes to the house the first time and he doesn't spill any of the oil. But then when he was asked at the end, well, what did you see around the house? And he didn't really have too much of an answer because he was so focused on the oil. So he's told to do it one more time and notice the things in all the rooms of the house. So he did all of that. He noticed all these beautiful rooms within the house. And then at the very end, noticed all the oil was spilled off the spoon. So he didn't focus on that. And the quote then, after all of that, comes, "The secret of happiness is to see all the marvels of the world and never forget the drops of oil on the spoon." And I think that's super true when it comes to finding our purpose kind of being those drops of oil on the spoon, but also still not neglecting, you know, the things that are around you and all the things that also still excite you, and being able to really live your life while still focusing on that sense of purpose. So now, once again, this is so much easier to say. I hope it's making sense, but it's really like, where can I go from here? Like, how do I find, you know, purpose in my life? So once again, I have three questions for you to answer on your own. And these are questions you can always revisit. I think finding purpose is a gradual transition. And when, like I said earlier, it kind of can change throughout your life. So, but for finding your purpose right now, some of the questions that helped me is the first one being, what is my biggest priority in life right now? And once again, these seem like they can be very simple questions, but they're really imperative questions. Because if you can pinpoint and be organized with what your biggest priority is in life and making everything follow just accordingly, you'll always be on track to follow your purpose. You never know exactly what the steps are going to look like, but as long as you're keeping your biggest priority, you're always going to end up okay. So, kind of figuring out, what is my biggest priority in life right now? Now, the next question is, what is no longer serving you? So you start to think about this a little bit more, because maybe you just named your biggest purpose. Maybe you have, you know, a top three. But what might you be crowding into that that's actually not necessary anymore? Sometimes we outgrow situations, same way we might outgrow, you know, jobs in the same way in the future. And maybe the same way, you know, you outgrow, you know, a certain class, whatever it is. There's certain things that no longer may be serving you in the same way they used to. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, once again, to detach yourself from those things. So what is no longer serving you in your life? And I'm not talking about cancel culture here. I just feel like I have to make a quick disclaimer. This isn't necessarily canceling things out. It's just noticing, how can I continue to move forward and continue to step into my purpose? There's not just one moment and you're just living your life at that moment of purpose, right? We set a series of goals, and once we hit one goal, there's always another series after that. So kind of debunking that theory that you just get to one point and you get all the happiness you want, that's not how life really works. So it's always thinking about, well, what's no longer serving me and what can I let go of? Now, the last question I'm going to leave you guys with is, What should I draw closer to? So now that you've kind of established what your biggest priority is and maybe things you can let go that might not be serving you, what are maybe some things that you aren't giving enough attention to that you should be, that are in your biggest priority or your top three? Once again, this could be people. This could be, you know, perfecting your craft a little bit more. That could be reading. That can be looking more into resources. That can be indulging in different experiences more. But really thinking about what should you draw closer to. And those three questions are some of the three starting questions of how to revisit and revamp what your purpose is. So now, congrats. You made it to the cool down. We finished all three reps successfully. You should be proud of yourself. We made it through all three P's of alignment, through pain, peace, and purpose. And we actually introspected a little bit while we were getting some physical exercise. What a holistic workout. And I love this for you. I love this for you. I hope you continue to recognize any pain or discomfort you may be having in your life, whether it's physical or mental, that it always brings understanding and that you can always endure more than you realize. But at the same time, when it comes to peace, it's so important to prioritize your peace and take care of yourself first. Remember, that is not selfish for you to do. Really learn to take care of your peace and protect your peace. And ask yourself those questions of how you can continue to do that and how you can continue to cultivate joy on your own. And lastly, once again, with purpose, you have to remember that purpose cannot come from anywhere but from within you. So we can't keep asking everyone around us what we should do next, our parents or whatever it may be. But you have to actually kind of look within yourself a little bit more to find that sense of purpose within you. And you already kind of did that with today's podcast, exercise, and run. And I hope you continue to take these key learnings of how pain, peace, and purpose all serve a purpose within your life and help align you. Even in the toughest times, amidst a pandemic and a bunch of other things that are happening currently right now in so many different social, political, economic climates, I hope you realize and take time for yourself to prioritize yourself. Now you're officially done. Be proud of yourself. Drink some water. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day and week. And shout out to Flick Editorial and Ulelu for helping set up all of this. With love, Christina.